Thanks for joining us for another edition of Peer Reviewed Politics Weekly. This conversation is all about clarity, especially when it comes to constitutional law and the institutions governing America. Today, we're diving deep into the Supreme Court's recent ruling in Trump 5, CASA, Incorporated, a decision that's poised to reshape the very tools federal courts use in dealing with presidential policies.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that while the headlines have focused on birthright citizenship and President Trump's executive order, the real core of the court's decision doesn't directly address that issue. Instead, it's about whether a single federal judge can halt a policy across the entire nation. That question could affect every president, regardless of party, so let's get started.
To set the stage, on his first day back in office, President Trump signed Executive Order 14160, which sparked the controversy. The order aimed to change how birthright citizenship was interpreted for children born here to parents who weren't lawfully in the country or were temporarily present under certain conditions. Instantly, states and advocacy groups filed lawsuits, challenging its legality. Federal district courts responded by issuing nationwide injunctions, essentially putting the brakes on the entire executive order pending litigation.
That's right. The use of nationwide injunctions has grown over decades, but it's been especially prominent in recent years, regardless of which party occupies the White House. Both Obama and Trump administrations faced these sweeping rulings. The main argument for these injunctions is to prevent possibly unconstitutional policies from impacting millions before a higher court reviews the case. But critics say it gives too much power to a single judge, sometimes stopping a federal policy for the entire country based on a single lawsuit.
What's crucial in Trump vs. CASA, Incorporated, is that the Supreme Court sidestepped the constitutional merits of the executive order itself. The justices focused instead on whether federal district judges actually have the authority to make a policy halt nationwide. Justice Barrett, writing for the majority, concluded that under the Judiciary Act of 1789, courts generally don't have that power. The court's reasoning hinged on which remedies were available at the nation's founding, and nationwide injunctions weren't among them.
This has big implications. If federal judges are limited to granting relief only to the plaintiffs before them, then future challenges to controversial executive actions will need a different strategy. We might see more class action suits, or an emphasis on faster appellate review, rather than relying on nationwide injunctions from district courts. The Supreme Court's decision narrows a tool that had often provided immediate, wide-ranging relief.
What's fascinating here is the split in how people view this change. Supporters of the ruling say it restores the balance of power outlined in the Constitution, keeping judges from exercising authority that Article 3 doesn't grant. They argue it prevents a single trial court from essentially vetoing presidential actions for the whole country. On the other hand, the dissenting justices and their supporters worry this limits courts' ability to quickly protect large populations from potential violations. It may force multiple overlapping lawsuits and, they argue, could lead to inconsistent enforcement across states.
The dissent's position, especially from Justice Sotomayor and the other liberal justices, is interesting. They suggest restricting nationwide injunctions risks leaving some plaintiffs and entire groups vulnerable to systemic harm. Justice Jackson even emphasized that some injuries just can't be addressed by remedies limited to named plaintiffs. The concern is whether courts will lose their ability to prevent large-scale constitutional injuries, especially in cases where the harm spreads quickly across the country.
Meanwhile, the separate opinions from conservative justices add another layer. Justice Thomas, joined by Justice Gorsuch, underscored long-standing worries about judicial overreach. Justice Alito, agreeing with Thomas, highlighted the improper expansion of district court authority. Justice Kavanaugh was slightly more nuanced, suggesting courts might need clearer guidance in the future about how far injunctive relief should go. It shows just how unsettled this area of constitutional law remains, even after the court's ruling.
And stepping back, the implications go far beyond immigration and birthright citizenship. Legal scholars point out that this decision will shape how all kinds of executive actions are challenged in federal courts. Whether it's environmental regulations, healthcare, or civil rights issues, The new limitations on nationwide injunctions mean states and advocacy groups will have to rethink their litigation strategies.
In practice, we'll likely see more localized or plaintiff-specific injunctions, and perhaps an increase in multi-district lawsuits as groups try to ensure broad relief in cases of national impact. And federal agencies could see less interference from trial courts in the early stages of litigation. But it also means there may be more variation in enforcement as lawsuits proceed, which could result in a patchwork of outcomes across jurisdictions.
That patchwork is exactly what the dissent warns about. Their fear is that inconsistent enforcement could undermine the principle of equal protection under the law. So, while supporters claim this restores proper separation of powers, critics see new risks potentially leaving courts less equipped to address nationwide constitutional injuries as soon as they arise. It's a debate likely to continue for years.
At the end of the day, Trump v. Kayser, Incorporated, doesn't answer the question of whether the specific executive order is constitutional. Instead, it redraws the procedural map for how presidential policies are challenged in federal court. We're left with a fundamental change, one that will influence legal strategies, the balance between branches, and how quickly courts can intervene in controversial national policies.
This case is a great reminder that sometimes the most impactful Supreme Court decisions are the ones that shape process, not just who wins the immediate dispute. By defining the limits of federal judiciary power, the justices have set the stage for how future policy battles play out in the courts.
Thanks for listening to Peer Reviewed Politics Weekly. If you're interested in evidence-based takes on constitutional law, public policy, and government institutions, we hope you'll join us next week. Until then, keep questioning, stay curious, and we appreciate you tuning in.